again, please, to Isaiah chapter 40. It's the very familiar words of verse number 31, the last verse that we read together. The Lord has directed my attention to for the service this morning. Isaiah 40 and the verse number 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Before we come to the preaching of the Word of God for this morning, can we just still our hearts again in a word of prayer, please? Heavenly Father, we say with the truth today, even the words that we have been singing, a wonderful Saviour is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Saviour to me. And O God, we thank Thee for the wonder that God should ever love us. The wonder that God should ever set His love upon us and draw us with the cords of love to Himself. Yet, Lord, we thank Thee today that we are the redeemed of God. We thank Thee, O God, that we are accepted in Him. We praise Thee, O God, for every blessing that we have through Christ. O Lord, as we come to Thy precious Word, we pray, O God, that there will be that word of encouragement, and Lord, that word of challenge to each one of our hearts today. We pray, O God, that You'll come. Take the pages of Scripture, not the words of man. Lord, take Thy Word and speak to every waiting heart, O God, we pray. Our Father, we pray that this day we'll know what it is to hear God and to see God in the precious Word of God. Speak to our hearts. Help us, we pray. And may our meditation upon the Word of God today be sweet. For we ask it in Thy name and for Thy glory. Amen. Amen. As we come to this 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we notice somewhat of a change in style and a change in emphasis now with the prophet. Up until this point, in the first 39 chapters of this book, the prophet has been dealing under God and warning under God of the coming judgment for the people of God and for the judgment that was going to come upon them because of their rebellion and their rejection of Him. Now from chapter 40 onwards, somewhat of a difference, a change takes place. Because as we come to this section now of this book, we see the prophet taken up with his writing in relation to the Babylonian captivity that was going to come. That captivity which for the Old Testament church was perhaps one of their greatest trials. This captivity, this exile, was going to prove extremely difficult. Because all sense of liberty and living would soon disappear. The fellowship and the friendship that they once enjoyed would now be severely restricted in bondage. It was going to be a very difficult time for them to pass through. But Isaiah is comforting the people here that even in their rebellion, in their rejection, that God was not going to leave them comfortless. He was not going to abandon them totally. He was not going to forsake His covenant promise toward them. And as we come to this 40th chapter of the book of Isaiah, we see many of the promises of God that would sustain the people, that would strengthen the people throughout their period of captivity. Great Bible commentator Matthew Henry said that before God sent His people into captivity, He furnished them with precious promises for their support and their comfort in their time of trouble. And as we come towards the end, particularly of this 40th chapter, we see that the warning was given that their strength would soon wane. They would soon become weak. They would soon become weary. But the prophet is encouraging the people not to forsake the promises of God and not to forsake God. In their bondage, in their captivity, their human strength would fail. Under the heaviest of burdens, their strength would soon begin to collapse. But God gives them a promise here. Because as we come to the very last verse of this chapter, God gives them a promise and a word of reassurance. He says, "They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint." So he has given the warning in verse number 30 that they will faint, they will become weary, they shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord. You see, weariness, tiredness in the Christian life and our Christian experience is a very, very much a reality. So often we can go through the work of God and our Christian living and we come across those periods of weariness, even as the people of God were going to experience in their captivity and in their bondage. But even in that, there was a promise. Thank God for the buts of Scripture. Thank God that even though the youth would fail and would be weary and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so as we come to the subject for this morning, we want to consider some very simple, yet I trust by way of encouragement, way thoughts to you as we consider this subject of waiting on the Lord. What does it mean? What does it entail? And how will it affect us? First of all, I want you to consider with me here the call to wait. In verse 31 it says, "But they that wait upon the Lord." Here was a call from the prophet under God that the people were to wait upon the Lord. Waiting here, in this sense, it infers a sense of trust. It infers a sense of dependence. It infers a faith in God. It speaks as much of activity as well as inactivity. Because when we go through the hard times of life, one of the hardest things to do is to wait for God to work out His plan and His purpose in our lives. This Babylonian captivity, it was going to be long, it was going to be severe. But the people here are encouraged to wait, they are called, they are commanded to wait. How often we have read this verse, I'm sure. How often we have thought about this verse. We want to see exactly today what it means to us to wait. This call to wait upon the Lord. As we consider the call to wait, there are some things that I want to draw to your attention today as to how we can wait on the Lord, what it means for us to wait upon the Lord. First of all, I would suggest to you that it means we are to wait patiently. We are to wait patiently. We are to wait on Him in His time. We live today in a world of such technological advances, it means that almost anything we can get, we can have at the click of a mouse or the click of our fingers. We demand so much in the shortest possible time. We have so many inventions and so many contraptions today that are supposed to make our life easier and supposed to make our life lighter, and yet we seem to be busier than ever. And it's hard, even in this society in which we live, when everything is supposed to make life easier for us, it's hard still to wait. Waiting's a hard thing to do. Waiting demands patience. Waiting demands trust. Whenever the Lord spoke to the young prophet Isaiah way back in the beginning of this prophecy. And the Lord called him to the task that he was called to. Isaiah asked the question of the Lord, "How long, Lord? This message that you have given me, how long must I deliver it?" The reply came back in chapter 6 and verse 11, "Until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate." In other words, I want you to wait patiently in my time, right until the bitter end. Someone has said that waiting is the discipline of delay. Because sometimes we can think that waiting is a waste of time. Sometimes we think that we should be doing so much, and we should be so active, and we should be so busy, and that if we're not, if we're just waiting, that we're wasting time. But there are times when we have to wait. There are times when the Lord calls us to wait. There are times when God is shaping us, when God is preparing us for something, and that time is never lost. That time, rather, is gained to us by waiting. You see, we don't realize that waiting on God in His time to fulfill His plan and His purpose is something of positive value to our lives. We can often see waiting as being an intrusion. We can often see waiting as being an inconvenience and an interruption into our activity. The saying is often repeated that the best things come to those who wait. And there are times when we have to wait patiently on the Lord. Noah had to wait for 120 years for the floods to come. And Noah, in that period of waiting, had to remain faithful to God. God had given him the charge. Yet he had to wait. Abraham and Sarah had to wait until old age, until God would bless them. Mary and Martha, they waited for 3 days for the Lord to come after their brother died. And it was worth the wait. Oh, how we need to wait on God in His time. And how we need to know that God is always working out His plan, His purpose in our lives. And while we wait, we must remain faithful. Elijah said to his servant as he was praying for rain, he sent his servant up to the mountain, further on up the mountain, to see if there were any clouds, if there was any sign of the rain, and he came back and there was no rain, there were no clouds. And yet again and again the servant went, Elijah commanded the servant to go. He had to wait. And it wasn't until the 7th time, and the reply came back, "Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand." Elijah had to wait. Because Elijah knew that the God who had shut up heaven some years previous was the same God who would open heaven. And they had to wait. The children of Israel, as they came to the Red Sea, command to them was given, stand still. And you know, that experience there at the Red Sea is often one that the Lord uses to encourage and yea, challenge my heart. Because oftentimes I've tried to place myself there, standing at the banks of the Red Sea, knowing that the armies and the enemies were coming against us. And knowing that there was no way forward, thinking we were going to be destroyed. And the temptation would be just to run. The temptation would be to scatter. But what does the Lord say? What does the Lord say to that vast host of people standing in fear for their lives, standing not knowing what to do, not knowing where to go, not knowing what way to turn, he says, stand still. Stand still. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And folks, that's sometimes what we need to do. We need to stand still and wait on God. Because after that period of waiting, the Lord made the way through. The Lord opened up the Red Sea and they walked through on dry ground. They waited patiently. But another way that we can wait on the Lord is to wait devotionally. We are to wait on Him in His time, but also we are to wait on Him in His Word. How are we to know the paths that God wants us to take, even in the period of waiting? How are we to know what God wants us to do, even when He has called us to wait? Well, we spend time in His Word. We wait on Him in His Word devotionally. You know, sometimes we want to run on ahead of God. Sometimes in the period of waiting, we want to take things into our own hands and we want to do it this way and we want to do it that way. But we need to wait on God and His time and His Word to show us the right way. When we come to make decisions in our lives, whatever they be, we need to wait on God and His Word for Him to show us His will and His way for our lives. If we want to know and we want to be led by God, God has a plan. God has a purpose. God has something that each one of us are to do for Him. God has a plan for each one of our lives, but we need to know that plan, and the only way we'll know it is by waiting on Him in His Word. Did we take time even today to wait on God and His Word? Did we take time even this morning to come alone with God and say, Lord, reveal Thy Word to me? Oh, may we never be too busy. May we never be too busy in the things of God even that we fail to take time to wait on Him and His Word. The Bible, the Word of God that you hold in your hands, is the greatest guidebook you could ever have. No one else and nothing else will show you the way forward but this Word. No one else and nothing else will bring you comfort in your time of waiting but the Word of God. Wise man says in Proverbs 3 and 6, in all thy ways acknowledge Him. He shall direct thy paths. How we need to wait on Him devotionally. Need to wait on Him in His Word. But we're also to wait on Him prayerfully. Prayerfully. And that is to wait on Him in His presence. Do you know there's no substitute for getting alone with God? There's no substitute from getting away from the things that have occupied us, and even before we get into the busyness of any day, just getting alone with God in the quietness of our own homes and our own rooms, and wait prayerfully on Him in His presence. Martin Luther said of prayer that prayer is the mightiest weapon that created man can wield. We need to take time each day to wait on Him in prayer. You know, no matter what we have to do, and each one leads busy lives, I know that, I understand that. And there are many appointments that we have to keep throughout the course of the day, many things that we will have to attend to throughout the course of the day, but one of the most important appointments that we must keep is that appointment when we wait on Him prayerfully. And we ask for God to show us His way. And we ask the Lord to help us in the day as it will unfold before us. How foolish we can often be. We can rush into a new day and we can fail to wait. We fail to take time alone with God. We think that we of ourselves have the strength to face that new day, but then we quickly become faint and weary because we haven't taken time to wait on God in His Word. Joseph Scriven said, "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to Him in prayer." And that's what the Lord wants us to do with the problems, the burdens, and yea, even the good times of life. He wants us to bring everything to Him in prayer. We need to wait on Him. Someone has said that much kneeling keeps us in good standing. Much kneeling keeps us in good standing because, you know, you can never stumble when you're on your knees. And when you feel faint, and then when you feel weary, even physically, and I'm no nurse or doctor or anything like that, or medical profession, but I'm told that if you feel faint, you get your head down. Child of God, you feel faint today, get your head down. Get to God in prayer. Pray earnestly, pray expectantly. Elijah, as we said, prayed for rain, and he expected God to reward his faith. Prayed believing. The story is told of a little boy, and he asked his Sunday school teacher if he would pray for his sister. His sister had left off praying and left off reading the Bible, and the little boy was very concerned about his sister. And so the Sunday school teacher called all the other teachers together and brought the little boy in, and they called a prayer meeting. And the Sunday school teachers were praying for this little boy's sister. The little boy was in the room as well. But all of a sudden, in the middle of the prayer meeting, the little boy jumped up and he ran out. The next day, the Sunday school teacher met him and said to him, "Son, why did you run out of the prayer meeting? You should have stayed there. You should have waited until the prayer meeting was over." The little boy turned to the Sunday school teacher and said, "Oh, miss, I wanted to get home and see God answer prayer for my sister." He was expecting God to answer prayer. Do we expect God to answer our prayer? Yes, we pray earnestly, but we must pray with that expectation that God will answer prayer as we wait on Him for those things that we lay before Him. Let's do it with faith. May we never give up. Even in praying for those hard and difficult situations, may we never give up. Waiting on Him, it requires faith. The call to wait on God. Wait patiently. Wait devotionally. Wait prayerfully. But as we come into this verse again, in verse 31, I want us not only to see the call to wait, but also the consequences of waiting. Because there are consequences, there are effects of waiting. First of all, we will have inward strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. The reference there is to our spiritual strength. The people here in Isaiah's day were going into captivity, and they needed that inward strength to give them the power over each temptation that they would face. The word renew there can also be translated change or exchange. You see, whenever we wait on God, we are exchanging our weakness for His strength. How often the batteries of our life soon run down. And we try to recharge them ourselves, but what we need to do is we need to exchange our weakness for the strength alone that God gives. And how do we do that? By waiting. by waiting on the Lord. How often we can go through high times in our Christian life, times of an ending sunshine, but then quickly those times disappears. You remember Elijah? Just 24 hours after he witnessed God answer from heaven and destroy the prophets of Baal, and just a day later he's in the valley of despair. That's life in the real world, because at best we are weak. And we need to wait on the Lord that we would have this inward strength. Remember what God said to Paul, as he prayed three times for that thorn in the flesh, whatever it was, he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." God took his weakness and gave him strength. Thomas Brooks, the great Puritan preacher, said that saints have their winter seasons, times when strength fails, but in such times then we need to redouble our efforts to wait on the Lord. There is inward strength in this verse. But quickly, I want you to see as well with me here that there's upward strength. Come on into the verse 31 and says, "They shall mount up with wings as eagles." Upward strength. It has the idea of victory over every trial and over every situation. When we wait on the Lord, we will mount up. We'll rise above the situations. The figurative use of the eagle here is of no accident. Because in the storm, while other birds might seek to fly from the storm, yet the eagle thrives in the storm. Other birds will try to fly away from it, but the eagle longs for the storm. The eagle doesn't flap its wings in the storm. The eagle doesn't panic in the storm like other birds might. But rather in the storm, it's driven along by the thermal underdrafts and it soars to great heights. And you know, we can soar to great heights as well, even in the storms of life, even in the difficulties of life, when we wait on the Lord. When we just allow the Lord to work in our lives and we see things as God sees them. You know, whenever we look at our circumstances and they seem like skyscrapers to us, but I tell you, whenever you mount up with wings like eagles, you see them as God sees them. You go up in a plane and as you're cruising along there at 30,000 feet up in the air, you look down, you don't see very much. That which on earth seems as insurmountable, those things that would seem to crush you down, yet whenever we see them as God sees them, they're insignificant. And God allows us, by waiting on Him, to mount up with wings and see those things as He sees them. Lord, lift me up and let me stand. By faith on heaven's table land. We need to have that upward strength. We need to have that inward strength. But also as well, we will have another consequence, is outward strength. They shall run and not be weary. The sense here of zeal, of enthusiasm in the work of God. Being enthusiastic in our labors for Him. We can run well, but then because we fail to wait on God as we should, we can give up running. Paul, writing to the Galatian church, he said, "Ye did run well." Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? You see, the church had got their eyes of God, got their eyes of Christ. They were running well. But then they had given up, they'd become weary. How we need, like Paul, to run the race with patience, waiting for Him. And as we wait on Him, He will give us that outward strength to run and not be weary. And that will only come as we wait on God. That will only come when our strength is renewed by Him. And then there is onward strength. They shall walk and not faint. Walk and not faint. I believe the reference there is just to the normal Christian experience. Day by day, walking with God. Because even day by day, as we walk with God, we can experience weakness. Even though things may be going all right, yet we can still experience weakness. We are not fit for the Christian life in our own strength. We cannot even walk the Christian walk in our own strength. We will faint. That's why we need to wait on the Lord every day. That's why we need to keep on going forward, keep on going ahead with God. Because walking with God, it entails opposition. It entails persecution. You will be attacked by the devil, you know that. And because of that, then we need to walk and renew our strength in God that we may not faint. The call to wait. The consequences of waiting. But finally, briefly as we close this morning, notice with me here the confidence as we wait. I want you to notice verse 28 here. Verse 28. Let's read verse 26 as well. Isaiah 40, verse 26. Lift up your eyes on high. And behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their hosts by number? He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? That the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. That's our confidence in the one in whom we wait. Lift up our eyes on high and behold him who has created all things. In other words, get your eyes off the situation, get your eyes off the storm, and get your eyes on the Savior. Hast thou not known how often and how prone we are to forget the greatness, the grandeur, and the majesty of our God. When we see all that's happening around us in this land in which we love, and this world at large, and we see evil and wicked men having a field day, and we see terrorists on every hand being elevated, and we can become discouraged, and as a result we can become faint and weak. And we can think that the governments of this world are in control. The Lord says, lift up your eyes on high and behold him who created all things. That's our confidence. It's in the greatness and the power of our God. Our God is in control of this world, folks. And I don't care what presidents or prime ministers might tell us and what plans they might have to defeat terrorism. God will be vindicated. God's truth goes marching on. My faith today is not in man. My faith is in the one who made man, the great creator of this world. That's our confidence as we come to wait on God. We're not waiting on some created being. Thank God for it. We're not relying on some man today. Thank God we're relying on the great God of heaven and earth. And no petition, no matter how great, no request, no matter how impossible, is beyond the reach of the greatness and the power of our God. Hast thou not known? Don't forget the power of our God, that He is all powerful, that He is almighty. And even in the delays, don't doubt God. And in the discouragements, don't doubt God. He is well able. He is the one, the creator of the ends of the earth, who fainteth not, neither is weary. Thank God today He is the source of our strength. He is the one who gives us that inward, upward, onward, outward strength to live the Christian life. Thank God today He knows our frame. Well, He knows our frame, that we are dust. He knows our weakness. He knows our infirmities. And He knows that by waiting on Him, our strength shall be renewed. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. If today you're here and you feel your strength is nearly gone, you're feeling weak and faint in your Christian life, lift your eyes on high and behold our God, the Lord God, omnipotent, reigneth. May God bless His word to our hearts. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, today we thank Thee for this call to wait on Thee. We thank Thee, O God, that time waiting on God is never time wasted. Lord, we thank Thee that as we wait, our strength will be renewed. We thank Thee, O God, that as we wait, we shall mount up with wings as eagles. That we will run and not be weary. We will walk and not faint. Lord, we thank Thee today that our confidence, our dependence, our faith is in the One who created all things. The One who never grows weary nor faints. Help us, O God, strengthen us today for the battle that lies before us. Strengthen us, O God, today for the walk of the Christian life. Lord, that every day we'll take time to wait on God. That every day we'll know what it is to rest and to trust in the sovereignty and in the power of our God. Lord, we pray that You'll bless every heart. Encourage every dear child of God. Lord, we pray that each one will know the strengthening hand of God in their life. Lord, we pray that You'll help us all to wait upon the Lord. Answer prayer for us. We pray this in Thy name and for Thy glory alone. Amen. The hymn number 418, as we conclude our service this morning, 418. You'll find that on the page 345. 418. I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. 418. And we'll stand as we sing this hymn. Those not remaining for the Lord's table, you're free to leave after the singing of verse number 1. 418. Standing to sing.